everyone loves to receive gifts. And this season, God has several just for you. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover God's gracious gifts.
Did you know that there are people on this planet tonight who have never heard a sermon about Jesus? They have never owned a Bible tonight. There are people throughout China, throughout the Middle East, around the world who have not received 1/1,000th of the information that you have in your hand tonight.
For Christians, Christmas is more than a time of festive celebration. It's a time of reverence and wonder for the God who sent His Son to connect with the human race. The real gift of Christmas is Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, God's Gracious Gifts, Pastor Chappell will take us back to the place where Christ was born and remind us of why He came and what His birth means for us today. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Manifested Gift.
Sometimes when going through a season like this Christmas season, there can be trials and difficulties, as I mentioned just a moment ago. And it's during those times when trials come into our lives that we can sometimes question the timing of God, sometimes wonder about even the works of God in our own lives. I heard about two blondes that went out into the deep frozen woods searching for the perfect Christmas tree. And after hours of looking for the Christmas tree in temperatures that were sub-zero and a few close calls with hungry wolves, one of the ladies turned to the other and said, "I am chopping down the next tree I see. I don't care whether it's decorated or not." And sometimes we're looking for that perfect moment, maybe that perfect tree. It's just not coming. And sometimes there may be even worse difficulty than that in our lives. And we can get caught up into a dither of emotion. And we wonder about the timing of God. We wonder about the work of God in our own lives. But you know, one of the great verses of the Bible is Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, which simply says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, and made under the law." And one thing I want you to realize tonight as we come to the Word of God is that God is always reaching out to mankind. God is always moving. God's revelation is very clear if someone wants to see, if someone wants to hear, if someone wants to know God. I mentioned earlier tonight about one young man from Russia, another young man from Romania, another young man from Ireland, who were called to preach in a meeting just last week. And I was so encouraged to think, you know, God has somebody in Russia. God has somebody in Ireland. God has somebody in Romania that He wants saved, or He wouldn't be calling these young men out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is always working in that way, that the word would advance and would go on. And I want you to just think about this principle with me tonight of the revelation of God to man, because that is what we celebrate in this Christmas season, that God is revealing Himself to us and that He is not hiding. He is not a God that cannot be known. He is not a God that cannot be heard. He is not a God that doesn't care. He is a God that cares. He is a God that can be known. He is a God that has revealed Himself to us. So notice with me tonight the revelation of His word. The Bible tells us in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now here we see tonight that the shepherds received this direct revelation from God. Many surveys were done years ago indicating that most people identify most readily in the Christmas story with the shepherds. They're the guys that we can relate to more so than maybe the wise men. Maybe it's just easier to identify with these common, everyday working shepherds, and yet it was to them that God came and brought his revelation. Now, I recognize tonight that God's primary form of revelation to us is the Word of God. And how many of you are thankful for it tonight? Well, I tell you what, you think about men like Wycliffe, and you think about men like John Huss, and you think about others who gave their lives so that we could have the Word of God, and how we ought to thank God for this revealed truth tonight. But when we think about the Word of God, we realize it is our primary form of revelation. We understand there are other ways that God has revealed himself in nature. We understand that God has shown himself in different ways, in different dispensations. But for us today, it is the Word of God. Nevertheless, when the angels came to those shepherds on that Christmas evening, they were pronouncing God's revelation to man. They were bringing the good news to the world, and that good news is still being preached in this world today. It was, first of all, an historic announcement. Think about it. The Bible says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." There were three different indicators that this child was the Messiah, the Son of God. Several things are seen even in this passage tonight. We find that this was to take place in the city of David, or Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 had prophesied this to be the fact. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting." This revelation that is made by the angels was consistent with the prophecy that had been given some hundreds of years prior to Micah in Micah 5 and verse 2. It is also said in this verse, number 11, that he would be a Savior. This was the purpose of the Lord Jesus. He came to be the Savior of Israel and of the world. And also we read in verse 11, he is called Christ the Lord. He was fulfilling the promise of Messiah, Christ the Lord. Isaiah 9 in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." This was the announcement that the angels were making. They were saying, the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah and others have been fulfilled. Jesus, the Son of God, has been born. It was an historic announcement that was revealed that night. It was revealed by a heavenly host. The Bible tells us in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here we see an army of angels singing this revelation song, making this revelation known that Christ had come and that he now was the firstborn, the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of it in verse 6. "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." I love that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. God the Father speaking to God the Son and saying, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." I know it may be offensive to the Jehovah Witness. I know it may be an unknown to the Mormon tonight, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is referred to as God by God in the Word of God. And if Jesus Christ is called God by God in the Word of God, that's good enough for me. He is God in the flesh. And this was the revelation that was being made on that day by the angels that were singing out this good news: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come. That is the revelation of the Word of God. He is God in the flesh. But I want you to see furthermore the revelation not only of his Word, but also the revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ himself. For Jesus Christ is God revealed to us. Now notice again what it says in verse 11 of this text tonight. And please have your Bible open tonight and look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11, which says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And verse number 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now, this revelation is a personal revelation, and it is the promise of Jesus Christ himself in the flesh, being God with us. In fact, verse 10 says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This is exactly what Jesus Christ is. He is personally the revelation of God to us. John the Baptist proclaimed it in John chapter 1 and verse 7. There came a witness. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ is personally the light of revelation to a lost and dark world. And God is reaching out to us through his word. And God has reached out to us through his son. And he has revealed himself to us through his word and through his son. And Jesus Christ is, according to the word of God, found by the angels. And notice what it says in verse 12. "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The angel told the shepherds that they would find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you've studied the meaning of those swaddling clothes. This was the same type of cloth that was used to prepare someone for burial in Bible times. This linen, this swaddling clothing would be wrapped around a body and placed into a tomb. And in Jesus' birth and in the wrapping with the swaddling clothes, we are reminded that he was given to us. He was given in birth that he might be given in death. He was born to die. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2 and verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." By the way, how many of you are thankful that Jesus destroyed the power of the devil on the old rugged cross? You see, Satan bruised the heel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus bruised the head of Satan when he died for our sin on the cross of Calvary. And the scriptures tell us, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And so Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to man. He is God in the flesh. And it is in him that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And every one of us tonight, during this Christmas season, no matter what comes your way, ought to just take time to say, "Lord, thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Thank you for the gift of redemption that you personally came to this earth to give to me, to deliver to me, deliver me from the sin of my life." While sitting on the lap of Santa Claus, Dennis the Menace explained a very serious predicament. He looked up into the bespeckled eyes of Santa, and as he looked into his face, he said, "Santa, I'm really working on being good, but could I have a couple more weeks to work on it?" I know a few Baptists like that tonight. They've been all right this year, but you could use a few more weeks and in some cases a few more years to work on it. How many of you are glad tonight you're not going to go to heaven based upon your good works? How many of you are glad tonight that you don't have to stand before the Lord someday and say, Lord, can I get a few more years? I want to do better. I know I'm not ready to enter into heaven. I'm glad tonight that it's not up to me. It's not up to my good works, that because Jesus has come, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's all because of the grace of God revealing himself to us, dying on the cross for us, that we have the hope of heaven tonight. I'm thankful tonight that God throughout history has been reaching down to us, that God reached down to us and gave us his word. And it's been recorded, the word of the shepherds. It's been recorded, the words of Mary, the words of Joseph. The words of Jesus have been given to us in the scriptures. God has revealed himself to us through his word. God has revealed himself to us through his son. But then I want you to think finally with me tonight about the revelation of the witnesses of Jesus Christ. The revelation of the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17 of our text tonight. Luke chapter 2 and verse 17. And when they had seen it, speaking of the shepherds seeing this manger scene, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, don't misunderstand this third point, the revelation of his witnesses, because we are in no way implying that the shepherds or that we as his witnesses are giving further revelation. We understand the revelation has been given in his word and by his son. We understand that the canon of scripture, as we hold it in our hand, is complete tonight. Please do not think that it is within our realm of authority or power to give revelation. And may I add, it is not within the realm of authority of the Pope or the president of the Mormon Church. It is not within the realm of authority of a so-called charismatic type of a speaker with a word of knowledge to claim that they can add to this book. The revelation of God has been made complete to us in his word. But here's the good news, that we have the privilege of continuing the propagation of that revelation as we follow the testimony and example of the shepherds and spread the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come. And so not in the sense of giving out revelation as a prophet or as an author of scripture, but in the sense of passing on the good news, we tonight can be a part of the process of continuing the revelation of God to this world. And I say to you tonight, that is a great privilege to be a part of the process of God since the beginning of time. And so think about this. Think about these shepherds as they pondered the provision of God. Think about how they must have felt as they realized who Jesus really was. And let me ask you a question. Do you remember when you got saved? How many of you can remember that night? Let me see your hands. I remember it well in my life. And how many of you remember when you first got a hold of the truth that God became man and that Jesus died for you and you accepted Christ as your Savior, and it was an overwhelming thought? And as we said this morning, you could not help but confess with your mouth what you knew to be true in your own heart. It was the greatest day of your entire life when you got saved. And think about the shepherds and think about Mary as they realized what was going on in planet Earth and that they were privileged to have the information. Look what it says in verse 19 about Mary. But Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. The word pondered means to bring together, to confer with one's self. Mary was not only remembering what had happened, but Mary was putting the pieces of the puzzle together in her mind. She pondered the miracle of God. Can I beg of you, church, that between now and Christmas morning, and yes, even on Christmas Day, that you take time to ponder what God has done, to put the pieces of the puzzle in your mind. I love opening up every Christmas morning, Luke 2, and reading this chapter to our family and now to our grandchildren. I know they get fidgety. I know they're looking at the tinsel. They're looking at other things. But I want you to know it's a privilege to just share this truth and to ponder what God has done. And Mary pondered all these things, and she kept them in her heart. She was the recipient of God's revelation, and you have been the recipient of God's revelation. And did you know that there are people on this planet tonight that while they have been the recipients of general revelation, they have seen the creation of God, and perhaps they have heard about Jesus, but there are many millions of people on this planet tonight, listen to me, who have never heard a sermon about Jesus. They have never owned a Bible tonight. There are people throughout China, throughout the Middle East, around the world who have not received 1/1,000th of the information that you have in your hand tonight. Friend, ponder it. Ponder who Jesus is. Ponder the fact that you have been given this revelation. It's in your heart. It's in your hand tonight. And we see that there was a pondering, but then I want you to see not only the pondering, I want you to see the praising that took place. Notice in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Notice verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now here, the shepherds had a testimony of praise. They, according to the scripture, made known all the things that they had seen, all the things the angels had spoken and had saying unto them. They perhaps made known that the child was indeed born in Bethlehem as the prophet had foretold. They were able to tell that he was the Messiah of Israel as the prophets had foretold. The shepherds made known abroad this revelation of God to man. The shepherds had a testimony that they now could share. It was personal to them. It was not just something that was written of old and something that had been hoped for. It was something that had happened. It was something that was real. It was something that had been seen by them. And my friend, if Jesus is real to you, you will make known abroad that Jesus is alive in your heart. It's not something you'll simply ponder. It is a praise that you will propagate around your neighborhood and around this world. I think about these preachers tonight in Eastern Europe. And sometimes we think of parts of this world as dark and closed and cold. And in many respects, those words could define a country like Serbia. They could define a country like Ukraine, a country that even tonight is being pulled back towards the power structure of Moscow, and there's concern about the freedom that could be lost there even in the upcoming days. But even in those cold, dark places of the world, there are lights shining. There are believers praising. There are people who are saying, it doesn't matter what's happening governmentally. It doesn't matter what's happening politically. It doesn't matter how dark and cold it is during this winter season. There is a light in my heart, and His name is Jesus. And one young man said, I feel that God has called me to preach Jesus to my people. I want to tell you tonight, yes, we're living in some dark and difficult times, but God's revelation is real, and it's still going forth around the world, and it ought to be going forth from the Lancaster Baptist Church tonight.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329 or go to dailyinTheWord.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.